Hey, welcome to Coaching You Podcast with the coach, Brendan Sir. Hey, I love some of the people that we're getting as guests, but there's someone that that you're going to hear today that's one of my best friends, one of the people I respect the most in this game, one of the absolute best teachers of the game of basketball in the world. Now, that's a heck of a statement saying the world, but this is appropriate because Ettore Messina, the associate head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, is an international coach. He coached the Italian Olympic team, national team, last year. He's been four to five times the EuroLeague Coach of the Year. He's a EuroLeague champion four times. He's worked with the Lakers, Spurs. He is one of the best and brightest people I know in our game. He loves our game. He communicates our game. But the insights and observations he has about basketball are second to none. We talk every week, and the things that he talks to me about basketball are things I don't see. Another great blessing of Ettore is he gets to work with, right now, probably the foremost coach that we have in the NBA, and Greg Popovich, who will be our Olympic and national team coach. From now, he is already through the Olympics in 2020. So I think you're really going to enjoy the things that Ettore is going to give. And again, for those of you that are going to come to Coaching You in Las Vegas, you're going to get to hear Ettore Messina on the court in Las Vegas. Reminder, in Orlando, July 5 and July 6 at Lake Highland Prep, incredible cast of speakers you're really going to enjoy. And then the 10th and 11th of July at Impact Basketball in Las Vegas might be the best lineup we've ever had. So I think, of the 9 summers that we've done it, this July is going to be, has the most opportunity for you to get an incredible, vast amount of learning about coaching and what it takes to win on the floor. Great demonstrations. Love the topics that we're going to discuss. Sit back and enjoy Ettore Messina. Hey, let's take a second to tell you about one of our partners, Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish basketball shooting machines are the most high-tech and durable basketball shooting machines on the market today. Each shooting machine was designed specifically for high repetition training to allow players to improve through technology. Dr. Dish offers game-like training to give hundreds of shooting reps in just minutes and to provide powerful analytics to help players improve their game. Dr. Dish has also introduced Skill Builder, which is the first of its kind in basketball shooting industry that enables coaches and players to stay connected, design and upload training exercises that combine shooting, conditioning, and ball handling into one complete workout, and instantly receive feedback on their workout, allowing for real-time adjustments and improved performance. It is without question the most innovative basketball training machine on the market. It's been the official shooting machine of Coaching You for the last 2 years. To learn more about Dr. Dish, log on to drdishbasketball.com or follow them on Twitter at drdishbball. Visiting today with a dear friend and one of the best coaches in the world that I certainly know, Ettore Messina, associate head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. My friend, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. You're too nice.
Well,
I don't deserve that.
No, you and I talked the other day after, you finished the series with an incredible Golden State team, and I think I relate to you what Chuck Daly once told me after we lost to the Bulls, I feel we won a whole ton of games like you did, and I felt like I had done nothing that year, so just a total failure, and he said, Brendan, relax. Pro basketball is a suffering business, and you know what? It was, I thought, appropriate. So you had a fabulous season, 61 wins, so many great things, but that the basketball gods, unfortunately, with the injuries to Tony and to Kawhi, like that, just amazing.
Yeah, we were not lucky down the stretch, but as you said, I think it was quite surprising that we managed to win more than 60 games in a year like this without team, missing his leadership, his presence on the court, but more importantly, even off the court.
Yeah.
Seven new players, and you know, it's not easy to step in the system and, you know, and just get used to it and perform. So they did. I think they did a great job. I know Pop said that in public. He was very pleased with that. And then down the road, I think we made already great thing in beating Houston when Tony went down in game two, and then Kawhi in game five. We won game six without both of them. And I think it was a great accomplishment.
I'm sorry. That was such a shocker because I thought they had a chance to really battle Golden State because of their style of play. You and I talked about it during the season.
To see them. Yeah. But you know, this Golden State team has been impressive. To me, I think most of the fans are very impressed of how they play offensively, the movement, the screening, the shooting, or whatever. But where they're extremely impressive is on the defensive end, where they are long, athletic, quick. They switch everything. They create a wall between you and the rim, and it's very, very difficult to attack them. And to use the normal strategy against them, whether it's a pick and roll, they take it away with a switch. Isolation, they help, they shift, they move quickly, they come from the weak side, they double team. So now screening is their territory. That's very used to switch screens, come off pin downs or whatever. So it's very difficult to attack them, very, very difficult.
The thing I think that's really surprising to the average fan about the NBA is the great teams that I've been around or observed, they really think about all the time defense. Mm-hmm. They think about how are we going to score? Not how are we going to score? How are they going to score? How are we going to stop them from scoring? Immediately that was your inclination, and there's such a good team because, you know, hey, Steve Kerr set it up. Luke Walton steps in last year. Mike Brown steps in this year.
Sure.
You know, you've been around so many great teams, both in the NBA and overseas. How hard is it to get that internal leadership, which is the key to any team, to succeed? And obviously Golden State has
that. I think you and I, we've talked a lot about that. I think it goes down to two things. The first two things that come to my mind is, of course, the coach needs to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. But I think one of your former players with Detroit used to say this, in good teams, coaches hold players accountable. In great teams, players hold players accountable, meaning that you need to have some leadership in your players, people who set the tone every day, people who hold you accountable if you take shortcuts. And I think organizations like the Spurs or all the team that you've been in, and the championship team you've been in, they had players that were, let's say, strengthening the message of the head coach. That's very, very important, I think.
And I think that quote is my friend Joe Dumars, but I
think that's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's
Ed Ray, what I found after, you know, when you get together with these legacy teams like the Spurs and the Pistons, and you get together with your guys like 3-4 years after, 5 years after a championship, and then a couple of years ago, 25 years after our first championship, and it was hysterical because, you know, Lambeer, Isaiah, they all thought they were coaching themselves. You know what? And that's the way Chuck and guys like Pop wanted, that they empowered them to coach the team. It was their team, and they took accountability and responsibility for it. And that's, I think that's incredible. They actually think we were really not that important. And Chuck used to think that's great. That is great, you know. And I think that's Golden State. And I think everyone acknowledges how good Steve is and how good Luke and Mike did. But these guys, they are running their own deal in responsibility and discipline accountability, which is that's the highest form of coaching that they've.
Yes.
It's like getting your children to behave when you're not looking, you know, and
yeah.
you know, and it's good. What about the change? You and I have had this conversation. It seems like in the NBA we're going through a real change in style of play over the last.
I think a lot has to see with the progressive loss of importance of the post-it game. I do not know if that the main reason is because we don't have anymore a lot of good post-up players, people who can play with the back to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's because of the analytics, meaning that everybody mm-hmm. knows that now the most efficient shots are the rim shots and the three-point shots. Everything else in between is not so efficient. Or if it is like Pop says and believes, because of the way the game is officiated and the defensive players get away with a lot of contact allowed on the block. And so it's difficult to get a clean, open shot on the block because the physical pressure that defenders are allowed to put on the guy with the ball is so overwhelming. So it's a combination of the three things, whatever it is. The league is shifting towards pick and rolls, but now it used to be the alternative used to be, correct me if I'm wrong, used to be pick and rolls or isolations for the great players you have in this
sure.
league. Now there is a lot of, you know, that we see in this Golden State team and even a Boston team, which is screening, cutting, splitting, a lot of action with the ball in the post and people screening at each other, slipping the screens, reading in the right way, the defensive switch, screening your own man so he cannot switch on the guy who's getting open. I think that's the next step forward that we're going to take and what we will keep watching. Even the other night in the game that Boston won in, with a decisive shot by Bradley in Cleveland, if you remember the action, that was a screening action for the shooter finished by the screen set by Orford, who screened his own man to prevent the defensive switch.
How about
that? I think we're gonna see that more and more and more. You know,
and
all those kind of little things.
And that terrific play that Brad had drawn up, it was, you know, everyone on TV, all those expert analysts that, you know, evaluate the way you and Pop coach, they said, well, you know, if he comes off high, the top guy will switch. And if he goes low, then the bottom guy will switch. And then all of a sudden, here comes the guy on a curl off the top. JR goes with him. But so did the bottom guy. And so when he comes back out, there's two guys on the cutter, one guy coming off. And so good action. And I think Brad Stevens has done a really good job of, you know, bringing some new ideas and getting some, you know, and I think what happens, again, observation is, you know, what do you do with pick and rolls when people switch? What's your thoughts on combating switching on pick and rolls?
That's interesting. I think first of all, everything depends on your personnel, for sure.
Sure.
I think that's very important to understand time and clock. I think early in the clock, if you get a switch early in the clock, you probably have time to explore any option on the block. Because if you throw the ball inside and the defense double team your big to help the small who's on him, now you have time to kick the ball out
mm-hmm.
and take advantage of that. But if the clock is running down and you get into a switch, I think you need to leave the ball to the perimeter guy and give him space to operate. So now, how do we space once the switch occurs? I think it's very crucial because you might roll in the wrong spot and help the defense to collapse against the ball handler. So I think you need to work on that and be aware that if we want to attack the big with the ball handler who has the ball in his hands, you need to, first of all, create the space for this guy and consider that you might have just the time to finish or for just one pass out and you need to shoot the ball because clock is winding down.
Yeah, on the pick and roll stuff, on the switches, which, you know, years ago, you know, when you first came, I think, to the NBA, no one would ever have considered switching as a normal defense because of,
Absolutely,
I mean, that would
absolutely.
be
No,
like they would look at you
no,
if you said, "Hey, this is what I used to do in Europe," and they'd say, "Yeah,
no.
this ain't Europe." They'd say that, and that would be something that would never done. Now all of a sudden, if you hedge or show on a pick and roll or trap it, now you're saying wide open shot for my screener, and so it's just changed so much,
Sure, sure. And the other big thing that you see every day with the most evolved team, and this is funny because this is something that in Europe we start seeing already 10 years ago. People runs a lot of the triple switch, what I call the triple switch. So you have a switch between a big and a small, and now when the big is rolling, the big who is defending the opponent's second big takes the roller if he's close to him and switch out his teammate on a perimeter guy.
How about that?
Does it make sense what I'm
For
saying?
sure.
And if you see, and that's what, for example, the Warriors have mastered, especially thank you to Draymond Green, but not only. So if they have Steph Curry on a big who's rolling to the hoop, you can bet that Draymond is coming from wherever he is guarding the second big and take the roller and switch Steph out to a perimeter onto a perimeter player. And when you involve maybe four players who are all 6'7", 6'8", like Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, the switch out is so easy, and basically you don't give any mismatch to your opponent. So that's Cleveland does the same thing on constant basis. So it's interesting to watch those teams and see how the defensive philosophy has evolved to take advantage of the switch as much as possible. And basically, you know better than me, what the switch gives you is that the moment you switch, that frees the offense, the ball movement. There is always those 2, 3 seconds of hesitation because very few teams on the switch move immediately the ball. Most of the times, the ball handler stops for a second with the ball in his hands before he takes the decision whether he goes 1-on-1 or whether he looks for somebody else. And that's what kills the offense. That moment of
That's a
the
key
offense
point.
becomes stagnant.
Boy, that's an excellent point. That quickness right there of recognize it. And a lot of our players, pro basketball players, they're not used to making those kind of quick decisions. They're so in tune to holding the ball and making their own play versus switches because they think mismatch. And it's and it, and now you're really just stacking the defense against that quote unquote mismatch
Yeah,
that.
the new way of switching that involves three or sometimes even four players challenge your ball movement
Yeah,
offensively.
that's
You
good.
know, you can't solve the problem, the switch, either with a 1-on-1 or hitting the roller. That's
Right.
not enough. That's what the defense will take away from that, and so you need to be clever. You need to spend time in that, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
That's we you'll t I'll talk about that all summer, but let me ask you this. Tell me what a staff meeting is like with you, Pop, Ime Udoka, you guys sitting in there and talking about, you're getting ready for a game, either the day before or before shoot around. Give me what it looks like in there about, the
Well,
synergy involved and all
the
that.
interesting thing with Coach Pop is that maybe differently from many other teams, we do not have us as assistants, we do not have a special assignment like you're responsible for defense, you're responsible for offense or whatever. Everybody is requested to give his opinion on every kind of thing, whether it's the defense, the offense, the personnel,
Good.
and whatever. So this is, I think, there is a lot of open forum. I think Pop is incredible in stimulating the argument. That's one of his biggest thing. He, as you know him better than me, and he doesn't like people telling him yes or you're right or you're the bad one. He really challenges you to a discussion. And at the end, he's very clever with his experience and his talent to squeeze out of the meeting those 2, 3 points that he wants to transfer to the team. So his ability is to use the, let's say, the ability to argue into building a common opinion. And that's really an interesting process every time. And it's a learning process. It's an exciting process, and I'm really blessed to be a small part of that.
You know, in coming, when you came back from Europe the last time and you went with Pop, even though you'd known him for a long time, what are, give me two or three things that you've taken away or learned from him that you didn't know before that to help you to become a better coach? I know I'm eliminating it to two or three.
I think we could write a book on
I
that.
know. Maybe we
His
should.
communication skills are off the chart.
Right.
And I mean, I think there is a lot of talent, but there is a lot of study on it. I would say the ability to, let's say, shorten the message. He knows whether it's a practice or a team meeting or whatever, he knows the three things he wants to ask the team to be done. And he goes straight at that. So there is no waste of time. There is no secondary goals achieved before the primary goals. There is no exhausting of their attention. So that's pretty special. The other impressive thing is how he prepares himself for the game, how he goes over all the different matchups and plays and action that he might run, whether for a player or for the other, how he plans to attack the opponent and how he plans to. So there is a lot of self-preparation going into the game, which is something that in Europe I've never seen. Of course, coaches prepare
Sure.
at every level, but every time we have a game, I'm very impressed of all of that. And then there are years of experience. And then final, how he really believes in what he says, and he doesn't take himself so serious and his role so seriously. That for such an accomplished and successful coach is pretty amazing.
Is it also an op is a feeling I have, don't know it, that let's just imagine that you lost a game. It doesn't matter, regular season game, let's just say, not a, you lose a game, post game, locker room.
Well, as everybody, you were with Chuck Daly,
Yeah.
you went through your share of win and losses,
Sure.
sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're calmer and you take more time sometimes, but his message is always brief, concise, strong message, and then there is always an attention to people. I used to say as a joke, but it's not a joke, his great talent is that every coach somehow is mad at his team for something. His being mad lasts very little. The shortest span I've seen in any coach I've been around in my life, which is great,
That is
because
key.
after the moment that he's mad is over, he's already there. He's already there for him. He's already thinking ahead, planning how we come back, how we can do better, how you can be even better than how good you are now, and showing love to the player and confidence and trust. It's pretty amazing, really.
Ray, my friend, I can't even begin to thank you for
No, no, no.
what you
It's been
mean
an
to
honor.
me.
It's been an honor to talk to you,
I
as you
learn
know
every
better.
time from you, and
I always enjoy. You're a great friend and a great coach, and you have all my respect. Thank you for taking time with me.
I really look forward to seeing you in July, God willing, that we're going to all
Yes,
get together
sure.
at coaching you in
Sure.
Vegas, and I'm going to watch those Spurs out there. Who's going to be coaching the summer league team?
We haven't decided yet, so Pop will announce soon. We'll see.
Applicants are coming in, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Application are coming.
Well,
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
and I can't wait to see you guys. And
Okay.
congrats on a great season again. And you know,
Thank you so much.
and
Looking forward to
as
see you
Pop
in
would say,
July,
we're going to
okay?
toast and have a glass of wine for this year.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. For
Anyway,
sure. Take
thank
care,
you.
my
God
friend.
bless, my
Take
friend.
care.
Bye bye.
Take care.